Lord Byron, 1788 to 1824. The Prisoner of Chillon. My hair is grey, but not with years, nor grew it white in a single night, as men's have grown from sudden fears. My limbs are bowed, though not with toil, but rusted with a vile repose, for they have been a dungeon's spoil, and mine has been the fate of those to whom the goodly earth and air are banned and barred, forbidden fare. But this was for my father's faith. I suffered chains and courted death. That father perished at the stake for tenets he would not forsake, and for the same his lineal race in darkness found a dwelling place. We were seven, who now are one, six in youth and one in age, finished as they had begun, proud of persecution's rage. One in fire and two in field, their belief with blood have sealed, dying as their father died, for the god their foes denied. Three were in a dungeon cast, of whom this wreck is left the last. There are seven pillars of Gothic mould in Chillon's dungeons deep and old. There are seven columns, massy and grey, dim with a dull imprisoned ray, a sunbeam which hath lost its way, and through the crevice and the cleft of the thick wall is fallen and left, creeping o'er the floor so damp, like a marsh's meteor lamp. And in each pillar there is a ring, and in each ring there is a chain. That iron is a cankering thing, for in these limbs its teeth remain, with marks that will not wear away, till I have done with this new day, which now is painful to these eyes, which have not seen the sun so rise for years. I cannot count them all. I lost their long and heavy score when my last brother drooped and died, and I lay living by his side. They chained us each to a column stone, and we were three, yet each alone. We could not move a single pace, we could not see each other's face, but with that pale and livid light that made us strangers in our sight. And thus, together, yet apart, fettered in hand, but joined in heart, 'twas still some solace in the dearth of the pure elements of earth to hearken to each other's speech, and each turn comforter to each with some new hope or legend old or song heroically bold. But even these at length grew cold. Our voices took a dreary tone, an echo of the dungeon stone, a grating sound, not full and free as they of yore were wont to be. It might be fancy, but to me they never sounded like our own. I was the eldest of the three, and to uphold and cheer the rest I ought to do, and did my best, and each did well in his degree. The youngest, whom my father loved, because our mother's brow was given to him with eyes as blue as heaven. For him my soul was sorely moved, and truly might it be distressed to see such bird in such a nest, for he was beautiful as day, when day was beautiful to me, as to young eagles, being free. A polar day which will not see a sunset till its summer's gone, its sleepless summer of long light, the snow-clad offspring of the sun. And thus he was as pure and bright, and in his natural spirit gay, with tears for naught but others' ills, and then they flowed like mountain rills, unless he could assuage the woe which he abhorred to view below. The other was as pure of mind, but formed to combat with his kind, strong in his frame, and of a mood which gainst the world in war had stood, and perished in the foremost rank with joy, but not in chains to pine. His spirit withered with their clank, I saw it silently decline. And so perchance in sooth did mine, but yet I forced it on to cheer those relics of a home so dear. He was a hunter of the hills, had followed there the deer and wolf. To him his dungeon was a gulf, and fettered feet the worst of ills. Lake Leman lies by Chillon's walls, 1,000 feet in depth below its massy waters meet and flow. Thus much the fathom line was sent from Chillon's snow-white battlement, which round about the wave enthralls. A double dungeon wall and wave have made, and like a living grave, below the surface of the lake, the dark vault lies wherein we lay.